Hi, friend. My name is Amy Joy, and this is the Make Prayer Beautiful podcast. I have had a bucket list wish to go and see the cherry blossoms in DC for several years at this point. And it so happened that I was in the DC area at one point in 2024, around the time that the blossoms were in bloom. And so I was talking to Bob about this because he grew up in that area. And so we were having a conversation because I was like, I don't want to have to drive in there. And in the end, I will say taking an Uber was a genius thing to do because it was an absolute madhouse from any kind of a driving or parking standpoint. And also from a walking standpoint, it was, I'm glad I did it in the sense of like, check that one off the bucket list. But from a like, I have just entered into the amazingness. No, it was stressful. But in any case, Uber was my friend. But I was talking to Bob about driving in the city because I said, I am a reasonably confident individual in many cases, but if I could avoid driving in cities overall, like that would be my preference. And he chuckled and he said, yeah, you do have these little pockets where you're just not as confident as I might expect. And as he said that, I was thinking about training in healing prayer, where anytime you have a kind of irrational fear, it's a good thing to say, Lord, why? Is there something that is contributing to this? And I had this flashback memory where after Phil and I had been married for about 18 months, we had saved up and we went to Italy on what was going to be our kind of like honeymoon, the real honeymoon that we had wished we had taken. And as an English and humanities major, I knew all about the different cities throughout Italy. And I was so excited to go and see everything that we possibly could. And when we landed, the car rental agency said, oh, you know, you rented a tiny car, but, and I'm sure I had done that for cost savings purposes. And they said, but we have a larger sized car. Like, you're from America. We know that Americans like their vehicles large. Would you like this larger car? And, you know, there's a part where it feels lovely to be treated to an upgrade that you don't pay for. So we were so excited about this until we started driving through some of the rural parts of Italy. And it was horrifically stressful for Phil. And Phil grew up, he went to college in LA. He was not at all an unconfident driver. But even still, he was like, oh, a smaller car would have been nice in some of these instances. And so this was the backdrop of the story I'm about to relate. So there was something on the Amalfi Coast that I really wanted to go and see. And we were driving the Amalfi Coast, and that was lovely. This was something kind of off the beaten trail that I don't remember now what it was. And so we had turned off to go to see whatever this thing was. And at one point, we were coming around a curve on the mountain, and a tour bus was coming towards us. Now, if we were having a hard time in a medium-sized sedan, I mean, it might have been a Toyota Corolla. I mean, it was not a large car, our little upgrade. But this was like a full-on tour bus for like big people, you know? And we were kind of like, we don't know what to do. And so we both had to stop because it was an impasse. Like, this road was not large enough for the two of us, for real. And the cars started to pile up behind us. That makes it sound dramatic. There were seven cars behind us, maybe. And nobody could do anything. And eventually, this very impatient-looking Italian man came and knocked on Phil's window. And he was like, he gestured, you know, like, get out. So we got out. And he backed the car down this winding mountain road enough that the tour bus could inch past all of us. And then we were all free to go. And so I was telling this to Bob because, and then what happened was we drove on a little bit further, and then there was a policeman who was like making a stop and he said something in Italian, but we didn't have Google Translate yet. So I still don't know what he meant. You know, it was kind of like the road is closed was about as far as we got. But I had no idea if it was closed for, you know, the next 3 months or just the next 5 minutes. And so we couldn't figure it out. So in the end, we turned around and went back, and all of that trauma was for nothing. And I cried and cried. It turned out, we discovered later, that I was pregnant at the time, just very early on. So all the hormones, I mean, I was a basket case. And so I'm telling this to Bob, like, of course I don't like driving in difficult conditions, because sometimes you're driving in rural Italy and a tour bus comes and practically kills you. And then a stranger has to come and back your car down the mountain. Like, who would want that? That's awful. And so after I've shared all of this, there's like a little pause. And Bob is like, I have a slightly different perspective on, or like a slightly different take on those events. And he said, Amy, it has happened to me so many times in my life that I have been in another city, because I think he's traveled to 55 nations. So he's gone all over the place. And, you know, it's like I'm going somewhere and I don't understand the road rules. I don't know how to move forward. I'm confused. It's dangerous, whatever. And then somebody comes to help. And he said, yes, you think it was just an impatient Italian man who came and knocked on your window. And maybe it was. But I mean, maybe he was an impatient Italian man sent from the Lord. Or it could be that he was an angel who was coming to help you back down the road and keep you safe. And oh, that actually is a really deep reframing for that moment. I'm feeling it now, even just retelling this, that all of this time I had been taking this as like, here we were, we got the wrong car. Here we were on the wrong road. Here we were about to be smushed by a tour bus. And all the time the Lord knew, and he sent his angel or his impatient Italian man to come and help us. That's powerful. That's a pretty deep reframing of actually, probably not just that moment, but I suspect if I sat before the Lord and said, where were some other places or times where I was overwhelmed or distressed? And there was an unexpected person who came and helped that I didn't even really want to help me. And yet here they were. Yeah. So Lord, I guess I could just say thank you for the ways it says in your word that we, what is it? Something like, don't be unkind to strangers, for some have entertained angels without knowing it. Lord, for the angels who have come and helped that we haven't recognized, thank you. For those who, even if they're just humans, who have come to help make our way more smooth. I think about the time that I needed to park in a really difficult environment, and a man was coming towards me and said, oh, if you just hold on, you're not going to be able to get up yet, but if you wait, somebody will come down and give you a spot here. Just have patience. And sure enough, within about 3 minutes, that happened. That was so kind for him to pay attention to that. So I didn't have to try to back down a mountain with a bunch of pedestrians. Lord, I just say thank you for all of the help that you give us along the way. And there's even a part, Lord, where I just want to say, I'm sorry for the places where I haven't recognized your kindness, where I have been so terrified or so overwhelmed by the circumstances that a memory like that of potentially angelic help instead feels like a trauma. And so, Lord, I am asking for a renewed mind for the days to come, that I would recognize when you are at work. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.